Begin the current daf. Masech the Baba Basra daf Yudalot. Begin on the bottom of Yud Gimel Mabez, two lines up at the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues a related discussion from the previous daf regarding this that we mentioned in our Mishnah regarding Kisvei HaKodesh, regarding splitting it up. So we had brought braises regarding what is the structure of a Kisvei HaKodesh. Do the Sefer Torah have to be separated from the Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Could it be attached? And regarding the dimensions of the Sifri Tanakh, that's what the Gemara continues that discussion. So Torah Banu and the braise. If someone wants to attach Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim in one to make it one scroll of Tanakh, says this Tana, this Braisa, he can attach them all. Moreover, he has to make, in the beginning of the scroll, an empty sheet of cloth, of parchment, to roll that around the wooden pole, which the entire scroll is wrapped around that. And at the end of the scroll, he has to have kidei logul hekaf. He has to leave a sheet of parchment empty that's enough to wrap around the entire circumference of this scroll. Now, the reason for that is because they wouldn't make their svarim like we have our Sefer Torahs, where that it's on two poles. Rather, they would wrap it around one pole, and therefore it would be wrapped around from the end to the beginning. So you have to have an empty sheet which would cover the entirety of the scroll from the end to the beginning. Therefore, you have to leave an entire thing to surround the circumference. Another halacha is, like we mentioned in the previous daf, although there has to be a certain gap of empty lines between the one sefer and another sefer, but if you finish the previous one on the bottom of the page, you could start the next one on the top of the page. Now, we continue on top of Yudalim at Aleph, says the Braisa v'imbolach techeitech, and if he wants to come and cut and separate the sefer, then he could go ahead and cut it. On that, asked the Gemara, my kamar, what is the Tana of the Braisa saying? To the contrary, everyone agrees that if every sefer individually is better, because there are actually other Tanoic opinions that we mentioned in previous stuff, that you're not allowed to attach it together. So even though the Tana of this Braisa says you could, so why is he saying if you want to cut it, you could? To the contrary, it's better. So why is he saying like as if it's permissible? It says, Dimo no hochi kamar. But the Tana of the Braisa is going back on the halacha that he said that when you finish the previous sefer on the bottom of the page, you can start the next sefer on the top of the next page. And you don't have to leave four lines empty. That explains the time of the braisa. So the reason for that is not like v'im bolach techeitech, she'im bolach techeitech. Because if you're going to come to cut, you could cut, meaning to separate from one sefer to the next. So it's going to come out, if you do cut, that the beginning of the next sefer is going to have four empty lines, which is disgraceful that this page should be different than all the other pages because it has four empty lines for nothing. And the reason why it's for nothing is because it's not coming after a previous sefer because you separated them. That's why the halacha is that even when they are connected, you don't leave four empty lines if it's on the beginning of a page. Now the Gemara asks on this Tana, this Braisa Virmini. Seems to be contradicted from another Braisa. The Braisa says, Tchila Sefer B'Sefer, the beginning of a scroll and the end of the scroll, you have to leave an empty page of parchment, kidei logul, enough to wrap around. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is, that it sounds like from the time of this Braisa, that there is the same measurement of logul, of surrounding, both in the beginning of the scroll and the end of the scroll, because it uses one term, kidei logul. So that asks the Gemara, kidei logul mai. So what are you wrapping the beginning or and the end, how much area do you need to leave empty? That is, ikadei logul omud, if it's enough to wrap around a pole, kashya hekif, then that contradicts the previous braisa regarding the end of the scroll, which is said you need to have enough to surround the circumference, not just to surround the pole. And ikadei logul hekif, and if the braisa is mentioning that you need to have enough of an empty sheet of parchment to wrap around the entire circumference of the scroll, well then kashya omud, then you have a difficulty in the beginning of the sefer, where it's saying that the previous braisa said you only need enough to wrap around a thin pole, and here it's saying you need to have both beginning and the end to wrap around the entire circumference of the sefer. So Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, not a difficulty, let's dot in Ketani. When the Tana, this second braisa says kidei logul, it depends, it's for different options. You need to have enough logul, but beginning is different than end. Beginning is just to wrap around the pole so that you can get it started holding onto the pole and then you wrap around that. And then the end of the sefer is enough to wrap around the entire circumference of the sefer to cover over the words. Rav Ashi, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Ki tanya hi, when did we learn that second braisa that yes, it's the same in the beginning and the end, not like the previous braisa, is b'sefer Torah, is by a Torah scroll, which is different. Ketan, like learn the braisa. Kol ha-svarim, all the scrolls, niglolim mitchilosim l'sayif, and are wrapped from the beginning to the end. So that is, you start in the beginning, and the end is on the top. So that's why we said that when you have the end, you have to leave an empty sheet so that it can wrap around the entire scroll, protecting it. V'sefer Torah niglolim tziyaseh, but a Torah scroll is wrapped to the middle, because v'oitzle omr elich ve'elich, you actually have it on two different poles, like we have our Sefer Torah, and that's why over there, yes, all you need is an empty parchment, the beginning and the end, be enough to wrap around a pole, because that's the way you wrap the Sefer Torah, because then it's actually ruled to the middle and not having it the end over the beginning. Now, Amar Blazber, Tzaddik, it says, Kacha Yukaisvi Svarm Shabir Shalim, Oisin Sefrim. That's actually how the scribes in Yerushalayim used to make their Svarm for their Sefer Torah, again, like we described, like our Sefer Torah, where they would put it on two poles, not like the rest of their scrolls on one pole. Tarabon, learn the Brisa, continue on these halachas of the dimensions of Sifri Torah. In Eisen Sifri Torah, we do not make a Torah scroll. Loi Arka Yisra al Hakefot, not its length, meaning which we would look at as its height, more than its circumference. Velo Hakefot Yisra al Arka, and not having its circumference more than its length. In other words, you have to be exacting in the writing of the Sifri Torah according to the thickness of the parchment, so that when you finish writing the scroll, if one would take a string and wrap it around the circumference of the Sefer Torah, meaning its thickness, that it would be the same length of that string going according to the length of the Sefer Torah. Now, Shaul is Rebbe, so they asked Rebbe, Shir Sefer Torah Bekama, what is the measurement for the length of a Sefer Torah? So Amalehan, he said to them, based on this principle we just mentioned in the previous Brisa, that Big Vil, by the parchment called Gvil, which is thick, and therefore it's going to have a large circumference because it's very thick. When it's wrapped, it's going to be a greater circumference. So then you need to have shisha. Then you need to have that the length of the Sefer Torah, the height of the parchment, is going to be 6 tefachim. That's the measurement so that when you conclude, you're going to have 6 tefachim of the circumference. If you write regular medium-sized writing, that then you can have the hekev being equal to the eirich of the Sefer Torah. Not beklaf, bekama. The estimate in regards to the parchment that's called klaf, how much does the length of the Sefer Torah have to be to equal the circumference of the Sefer Torah? And that he says, any day says that, I don't know. Now, Tesis explains that what are these gvil and klaf? So gvil is the height of the animal that wasn't worked through at all. Rather, all they did was that they took off the hair of the animal's hide, and then they would write the Sefer on where the hair was, where they took it off. Now that's why Tosfos says it's called gevil, because that means it's not mesukin, it's not worked through, as actually we had in the beginning of the Masechta regarding a different context where we're talking about the building blocks of a building. We called gevil where the avnin de la meshafin are the bricks that weren't chiseled away. Now sometimes they would cut the hide in half through the thickness of the hide. Now, the one which was on the outer part facing where the hair is called the klaf, and that in the inner part that's cut off, which is towards the flesh of the animal, is called duchsustis. Now, the reason why it's called duchsustis is because it means in the place of the flesh, because in Madai, they call the flesh sustus, and duch is the place, like we mentioned many times, duch pliny, that the place of pliny. Now, so regarding klaf, which is the outer part, it would be written on the part, on the inner part of that outer part, meaning towards the flesh, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos. And regarding the chsustis, which is the inner part of the hide, they would write on the outer part of that, which is towards the hair. So both of them would be written on where it was cut, because that's the best ideal place to write. So those are these two different types of parchment that were used as gvil and klaf, and that was the question, how to make the dimensions exactly, like the Brisa had said, to have the circumference equal to the length. Now the Gemara actually tells us that, although that's the ideal, Rav Huna Kosev Shivan Sifri Deiraisa, he wrote 70 Sifri Torah, but Lo Yisramele, and he wasn't able to make exactly the length like the circumference, Elechad, only one of them. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Kosev Chad Amashchid Igli, he wrote one Sefer Torah on the calf of on the height of a calf, Yisramele, and that one that he wrote, he got exactly the length like the circumference. So Yavbe Rabban Neinayr, so the rabbis were looking at him like, how can you have gotten this? Great people had written 7, they only got one, you wrote one, you got exactly? But Nachnafshin, he passed away because of the divine attribute that's on such a person who people are wondering, how could this person have exactly? That then brings justice, judgment upon the person, and therefore he passed away. Amalei Rabban L'Rav Hamnuna, Kasev Reb Ami Dald Meis Sifri Torah. So the rabbi said to Reb Amnuna that Reb Ami wrote 400 Sifri Torah. So Amalahu, he said to them, Dilma Tarit Sivalon Moshe Kasev. Maybe he wrote in the Pasuk Tarit Sivalon Moshe 400 times. Now, because it's not possible for somebody to write 400 Sifri Torah, it takes a long time. Now, Rabbeinu Tam says that actually that would make sense because that pasuk is called Kot Torah, as the Gemara in the third paragraph of Masechta Sukkah teaches that a child that already knows how to speak, his father teaches him Torah, and the Gemara explains what does it mean Torah. It means the pasuk Torah Sivalon Moshe. So therefore, it makes sense. Although the word was going around that he wrote 400 times Torah, that can mean this pasuk of Torah Sivalon Moshe. A similar type of an incident, Amalei Ravel Reb Zera, says that Nut Reb Yanai Arba Meir Karmel. Reb Yanai planted 400 vineyards. So Amalei said to him, Dilma Shtayim Keneged Shtayim. Maybe what he planted, when you call it a vineyard, was two vines facing another two vines, V'achas Yetzi Zanav, with another one that is perpendicular to them, coming out like a tail, where that's called in halacha as a vineyard. Regarding the halacha, Masechta Sota, that if someone had planted a vineyard and he didn't finish working it, that he doesn't have to go to the fight in the war, that maybe that's how many 400 vineyards. But I don't think he planted 400 regular huge vineyards. Now the Gemara asks Meisvei from the following braisa on this opinion that we quoted before from Rebbe, where Rebbe had given the dimensions of a Sefer Torah. On that the Gemara asks, Aron Sha'asa Moshe. The Gemara goes through a long braisa discussing a machlokes regarding the dimensions of the Aron and how the luchos and whatever else was in there fit inside of it. So the braisa says as follows: Aron Sha'asa Moshe, the ark that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Amasayim Bechatzi Arkoi. The Torah tells us it was 2.5 amas in its length. V'am v'chitzi rachbay was an am and a half in its width. V'am v'chitzi kamasi an am and a half in its height. Now, but says Reb Meir, says his first opinion, v'am v'bashtishet tvachim. The Amma was 6 tvachim for every Amma. Now, the reason for this is Reb Meir goes according to his opinion, which he mentioned in Masechta Sukkah, that every Amma in the Beis HaMikdash was Beinin. This was the medium-sized Amma, which is 6 tvachim. Now, v'haluchis, the luchis, everyone agrees, Arkan Shisha, v'rachvan Shisha, v'avyan Shleisha. The length was 6, the width was 6, so it was a square. V'avyan Shleisha, and its thickness was 3 tvachim. Now, it was Menachis Keneged Arkan Shel Aron. It was placed one beside the other, in the length of the Aron. So explains the first opinion. Kama luches eichlis b'aron. How much does the luches take up space in the Aron? Now the word eichlis, although it means eat, it also means to take up. As Rashi brings, we find the Mishnah that says that regarding the dimensions of the Mizbeach, that it's eichl b'darm amma achas, it ate up. It means that it took up space in darm one amma. So too, he brings a pasuk in Yechezkel, we find that the word yuchlu, also it can mean taking up space. So how much space did the luchos take up in the Aron? So explains this opinion, Shnei Masa Tvachim. It took up 12 Tvachim because, as we said, that an Amma, each one of the two luchos were 6 Tvachim, times 2, that's 12 Tvachim. Now, Rishdai Risham Shleisha Tvachim. So since every Amma was 6 Tvachim, and there was 2.5 Ammas in the length, so that's 15 Tvachim. 15 minus 12, so you remain in the length an area of 3 tefachim, but you don't really have inside 3 tefachim, because tzimehen tefach, you have to diminish from that 15 tefachim a tefach for the thickness of the walls, because the 2.5 amas were measured from the exterior part of the aron. So you take away a tefach, because chetzi l'kaisel zeh v'chetzi l'kaisel zeh, each wall was a half a tefach thick, neshtar yisham shnei tefachim, so you're left with 2 tefachim in the length of the aron. Shebehen Sefer Torah Munach, that in those 2 tvachim was the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had written, as the pasuk said in Devarim Laman Aleph, V'yichtav Moshe es Hashir Hazayis, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a Sefer Torah. That Sefer Torah is placed in the Aron. Shnemak says the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, it says Ein ba'Aron rak shnei luches avonim, that there wasn't in the Aron but the 2 tablets of stone of the luches hashenich shem Moshe v'gemer that Moshe Rabbeinu put into the Aron. Now the question is, my ein ba'aron rak. What are these words that it wasn't in the aron only? That's what's called miur achar miur. That's an exclusion after an exclusion, because ein means only and rak means only. So why does it say both? That's actually the ein miur achar miur el l'rabbis. When it says an exclusion after an exclusion, it actually is coming to include, which is the sefer Torah shemunach, which was placed its length to the width of ba'aron in the aron, which that took up the remaining 2 tvachim in the aron. So continues this opinion. Pernas to aron la'arka. So you've already explained the dimensions and the space that it took up according to its measurements in the length of the aron. Now says this opinion, Seyu pernas aron la'rach, but now go ahead and explain the aren according to its width. So kama luchis eichlis b'aren, how much did the luchis take up in the width of the aren? That shisha tvachim, that's six tvachim in the width. Because as we said, they were one after another in the length. So each one was 6 by 6, so it took up 6 tvachim, both of them, in regards to the width, it took up 6 tvachim. So nishtarisham shlosha tvachim, so you left with 3 tvachim, again, according to this opinion, because the width was an am and a half, each am was 6 tvachim, so 6 plus 3 is 9. So you take away 6, you're left with 3. Now, tzeim hen tefach, but still not 3 tvachim, because you have to take away another tefach, which chetz lekeisel zeh, but chetz lekeisel zeh, you have to take away a half a tefach for now the other two walls on either side. Nishtarisham shnei tvachim, so you're left with 2 tvachim. Now, and that the Braisa comes to explain, you didn't really need, therefore, that amount of width for the aron. So why were there extra 2 tvachim? It's only because of the Sefer Torah, which was placed in the length, its length was in the width of the aron. So that when the Sefer Torah is being put in and taken out, shouldn't be pressed, it shouldn't be tight, it should have room to wiggle, to maneuver it, because it was at the end of the length. And those 2 tvachim, if the whole entire width is going to be taken up, so you're going to have to fit exactly in, now that there's an extra 2 tvachim in the width, that gave room to take the Sefer Torah in and out. That's Divrei Meir, that's his opinion of how the Aron was with its contents and its dimensions. And that says the Brice, the Rabbi Huda Omer, he disagrees. He says that the measurements of the Aron were ba'ama bas chamisha tvachim, where actually every ama was measured not in 6 tvachim, but in 5 tvachim. A tefach is a fistful, and it's 5 of them, not 6 of them. Now, the reason is Rabbi Huda goes according to his opinion that he's mentioned in Masechtas Kelim, that the ama, when they mention ama by the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, were actually ama of 5 tvachim. So therefore comes it as follows. V'haluchis, as we mentioned before, everyone agrees, arkan shisha, v'rachman shisha, avin shleisha. Its length and width were 6 tvachim, and its thickness was 3 tvachim. Munachis ba'arkan shel aron. It was placed in the length of the aron, and that is, as we said, it was placed on its width, not on its point. It wasn't facing upward, but rather they were laid down flat on the bottom of the aron, again, towards the length of the aron. So kamaluchis eichlis ba'aron. So how much did the luchis take up of the aron? As we said before, 6 plus 6 took up 12 tvachim. So nishtarishim chatzi tefach, according to this opinion, all you had left after that was a half a tefach. Because 2.5 tvachim, if 2.5 amas, if each am is 5 tvachim, not 6, as the previous opinion, 5 plus 5 is 10, plus a half of that is 12.5. So 12.5 minus 12, you're really left with a half a tefach after the luchas are put in there. Now, but even that is not extra space. Because you still have to consider the walls, the thickness of the walls, where according to this opinion, the walls were thinner, was etzba l'keisel zeh ve'etzba l'keisel zeh. It was a finger breadth of each wall, which that took up the extra half a tefach, which two, because what we're describing over here, this etzba refers to an agoidel, which is the thumb, which the tefach is split into 4 of these fingers. So each one is a quarter of a tefach, which the two of them makes into a half a tefach. That, therefore, there was actually no extra space besides the 2 luchis in the length of the aron. So says the Braisa, pranasta aron larkas, they've explained the length of the aron. Say pranas aron larach, but go ahead and explain the width of the aron. So kama luchis ogdus ba'aron. How much did the luchis take up in the width of the aron? So shisha tefachim, as we said, 6 tefachim in its width too. So nishtarisham tefach amechtze. So you were left in the width a tefach and a half, because if it's an am and a half, if each am is 5 tvachim according to this opinion, you have 5 plus 2.5 is 7.5 minus the 6 of the luchas, you have 1.5 tefach. Now, but you still don't have 1.5 tefach of space, because semehen chetzi tefach, we said you have to diminish a half a tefach for the combination of the two walls. We have etzba mechzel kaisel zeh, you have either the girsa is actually etzba kaisel zeh, as we said according to the other ones, or according to our girsa, etzba o mechzel kaisel, a finger and a half on this wall. The etzba mechzel kaisel, a finger and a half on this wall, because as Rashi explains, that there's actually, this etzba is referring to the small finger, not to the thumb, but actually to the pinky, what's called the zeres. Because a tefach is actually 4 thumbs, or 5 fingers, or actually 6 pinkies. So when we're saying an etzba and a half, it's actually referring to the smallest finger, where that's going to be a quarter of a tefach, with the according to the dimensions of a etzba katana and a half. So that's the same as the quarter tefach as we described regarding the thumb being one being a thumb and the other one being a thumb. So nishtar sham tefach, so that took up the a half a tefach. So you were left with a tefach in the width of the aron. Shabai amud na'imdin. That according to this opinion, that's where the two silver pillars, which are like the pillars of a Sefer Torah, which were laying in the length of the aron, and the luchos were between them. How do we know that there was such a thing? Shanam, like it says, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, it says, Apirion Asalai, that there was the grace that he made for him, which that's a reference to the aron of Hamelech Shlomo, of the King Shlomo, which actually, as Rabbeinu Gershom interprets, it's referring to what's called Hamelech Shashalom Shalai, it's referring to Hashem, who the peace is his. He made Me'atzi Halavanim from the wood of Lebanon, referring to the aron, which is made out of wood. Amudav Asakesev, his pillars he made out of silver, meaning these are the pillars of the aron. Now, as Taisa brings from Rabbeinu Tam, that what purpose did these pillars serve? They were a siman for Hamadas Yisrael, for the stature of the Jewish people, and that's why it wasn't made out of gold, so it shouldn't recall the sin of the eagle, which, because you can't have Kateged Nasas Neger, although that the aron itself was, but the pillars, since they represented the Jewish people, as a Kohen Gadol coming Yom Kippurim, that's why it couldn't be made out of gold, but rather out of silver. Rifidasi Zav, its back was made out of gold, a reference to the Kapiris. And Merkave Argaman, its seat was purple wool, is a reference to the pareches that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which in the Pasuk B'Goyim continues, Teichei Ratz Ava, the inside is all laden with love. It's a reference to the Aron. So we see that in the Aron, there were these Amud of Asakes, of these pillars that were made out of silver. That's what took up the extra tefach, these two pillars with the luchos in between them, which took up that extra tefach. Now continues Rabbi Yehuda, the argus sheshigur by Pelishtim during Lelekei Yisrael. Now the box which the Pelishtim had sent as a gift to the God of the Jewish people, where because they had taken the aron and then they got punished, so they sent it back together with a box of gifts. That is munach mitzide. That was actually placed on the side of the aron. Shemalik says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says ves klehazav, that he told those who were sending this back to the Jewish people, that the golden vessels, ashevoisim le'ashen, that you're returning to the Jewish people as a sin offering, tesimu ba'argis mitzid, you should put in a box on the side of the aron that we're sending back, v'shalach t'maisav alach, and you should send it and let it go back to the Jewish people. Now that says Rabbi Yehuda, v'alav sefer Torah munach, meaning he disagrees with Remeir, he doesn't have space in the aron for the sefer Torah, so where does Moshe Rabbeinu sefer Torah go? It actually goes on the side of the aron, on top of the box that the Pelishtim had sent back, which the Gemara later on is going to ask, and where did they put the Sefer Torah before this incident of the Pelishtim happened, which only happened later on in history. Shnemak, it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, L'koyach es Sefer Torah zet, to take this Sefer Torah, v'samtem oisei mitzad adrein b'ris Hashem. You should place it on the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem, which tells us, says Rabbi Yehuda, mitzad hu munach b'lei b'toyach, it's put on the side of the Aron, and not inside the Aron, not like Rabbi Meir. Now, Umani Mekayim Ein Ba'aron Rak, so then what do I do with the words that Rabbi Meir had expounded to say that there is something that's, because Mi'at Achar Mi'at, that's being Larabis, that it's including, that it is going in the Aron, which he said is the Sefer Torah, and I'm disagreeing, what is that coming to include? And that's Rabbi Yehuda, that's Larabis that's coming to include as we continue in Tamid Beis, Shivrei Luchais, the broken Luchais, which were from the first Luchais that Hashem had given, that Moshe Rabbeinu had thrown down and broken, Shemunach, and that they're placed under the second luchos ba'aron inside the ark. That's what's put in, but not the Sefer Torah. That is the brisa. Concludes the Gemara's question. Now, if you would entertain like Rebbe had said, which he had to explain the Sefer Torah of Gvil, which the Gemara is assuming that was the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the ideal one, that to have the circumference equal to the Eirich, as the brisa had said, you need to have that the height is 6 tefachim, which again, that means that assumes that the circumference is going to be 6 tefachim. So therefore, ask the Gemara the following question on that opinion. Mechti, let's see. Kol sheyesh be'akev v'shleish tefachim, we know, based on the dimensions of pi, which Tyson Ervin explains, that it doesn't seem to be exactly as our Gemara makes it exactly 3 to 1, but whatever has a circumference of 3 tefachim, yesh be'rechit tefach, so it has a width of a tefach. Now, so therefore, this Sefer Torah that Rebbe describes that has a circumference of 6 tefachim, and that's why the length has to be 6 tefachim, comes out that the width of its thick, the thickness of its width is going to be 2 tefachim. So on that, as the Gemara, Bekivin del Emtzias and Nigla, since, as we mentioned before, that a Sefer Torah is rolled to its middle, which Ramban explains that's part of the Gemara's question, so you can't roll it so tight. So Nafish le mitrei tivcha ravcha de beini beini, so then actually you're going to end up having more air between the two poles that it's rolled in between than 2 tefachim. So it's going to be bigger than 2 tefachim. So betray push, then how exactly can you fit a Sefer Torah that is going to be more than two tefachim into a space of two tefachim, because what we learned in the opinion of Reb Meir was that there was two tefachim left in the length of the Aron, where that's where the Sefer Torah is put. But how could a Sefer Torah that's being put on that two tefachim fit into an area of two tefachim if it's actually going to take up more space than two tefachim? So Amar Vacha Bayakvi explains, it's not difficult. Sefer Azara, the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, which is read in the Azara, both when the Melech reads in the year of Hakil, and that the Kohen Gadol reads on Yom Kippur, which is called the Sefer of the Azara, actually, it doesn't have two poles like our Sefer Torah. It's not rolled to the middle. It only has one pole, and it's rolled from the beginning to the end, and therefore, it's going to be exactly two tefachim. It's not going to be that it's going to have to take up more than two tefachim. It's going to be exactly the circumference of six tefachim is going to make that the width is two tefachim. So it's not more than two tefachim. But still the Gemara asks, how exactly are you going to fit a Sefer Torah that's two tefachim wide into an exactly an area of two tefachim? You need to have some leverage, some space to fit it in and out. How could you fit two exactly into two? So Rav Ashi says that's not difficult either, because the Karach Beipurta, they would wrap part of the Sefer Torah that they wouldn't wrap with the rest of the Sefer Torah. Rather, they would leave part of the scroll, wrap it by itself, and place that wrapped part on top of the scroll on top, v'karach le'el, and they would wrap that on top of the rest of the Sefer Torah's circumference, and therefore, actually, it wouldn't be two tefachim, it would be a little bit less, because part of the scroll was wrapped separately on the top. So it took up less, and that's how you're able to fit that into the area, according to a mayor, of the two tefachim left in the length of the Aron. Now that the Gemara answered that question on the opinion of Rebbe, why it's not difficult in the way he described the measurements of a Sefer Torah and how that works out with the opinion of Reb Meir, how it fits into the Aron, now the Gemara asks some questions to clarify these two different opinions that we mentioned, the Brayse, that of Reb Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. So the Gemara asks Rebbe Yehuda, Mekmei de Lacy Argus, which we alluded to this question earlier, before that incident in history that the Philistines, the Pelishim, had given the box, Sefer Torah Hecha Hava Yosef. So where was the Sefer Torah? He doesn't hold that there was space like Reb Meir for the Sefer Torah in the Aron. He holds it was on the box that the Pelishim had sent. That's where the Sefer Torah was put, which was on the side of the Aron. But before that incident in history, where was the Sefer Torah put? And that says the Gemara, Dafa Hava Nafik Menei, there was a board that was jutting out from the Aron, the Yosef Ilavei Sefer Torah, and that's where the Sefer Torah was placed on, which, as he brought from the Pasuk, it was on the side of the Aron. Now the Gemara asks Reb Meir, Hai Mitzad Aron, this that Reb Yehuda brought proof for his opinion that the Sefer Torah is not in the Aron, but actually on the side of the Aron. My Avadle, what does he do with that Pasuk? He holds actually that it's inside the Aron, not on the side of the Aron. So that the Gemara explains, Hahumi Baile, he needs the Pasuk to tell you, Demas Nechle Mitzad, that it's put on the side near the wall, but Vele Masnech Bene Luchay, and that it's not put in between the Luchays that's in the middle of the Aron. But Alo Ilam Begavei, of course, the Sefer Torah was put inside the Aron, but just min hatzad. It was on the side, near the wall, not in the center of the Aron. Now the Gemara continues asking, it says, according to Reb Meir, that he had that on the width of the Aron, there was actually an extra two tefachim. The reason for that is because he needed a space of tefach on one side of the luchis, and then another tefach on the other side. And the reason why he needed that extra two tefachim of width by the Aron was so that the Sefer Torah should not be tight when it has to go in and out, which was at the edge of the length of the Aron. So then the question is, Amudim Hecha Hava Kaimer. Reb Yehuda had said that extra tefach was where the Amudim were. But according to Reb Meir, that he already uses up those two tefachim of extra space that you can't put stuff there, because he needed that to be able to maneuver the Sefer Torah, which was at the edge. So where did he have those Amudim? Because if they were there in that space, then it would take up that space, which is necessary to be able to maneuver the Sefer Torah. So that says the Gemara, according to Reb Meir, was Mivrei. It's actually on the outside. It wasn't inside the box, because that space was actually empty. Now the Gemara continues asking. It says, Reb Meir, Shivrei Luchis to Menachin Ba'aron Menaleh. How does he know that the broken Luchis, that the first Luchis that were Moshe Rabbeinu had brought down, which were broken, that they were also placed in the Aron? That is because he doesn't have the source of Reb Yehuda, who had taught that from the Mir Achamir, which was Larabbas, which he said that comes to include the Shivrei Luchis, because Reb Meir already used that to say that the Sefer Torah was inside. So how does he know that also that the Shivrei Luchis were inside? That says the Gemara, Nafkelim and Rav Huna, he learns that from the Halacha of Rav Huna. Because the Amr Rav Huna, Rav Huna had said, Ma'idich Siv, what does this mean in Pasuk in Shmuel Beis? That says, Ashenikra Shem, which is called the name of Hashem. Shem Hashem Tzavok is the name of Hashem, the Lord of the hosts. Yeshva Kruv Malav, which has on that the Kruvim which sit on top of that. So it's talking about the Aron, that inside the Aron there's the name of Hashem and the name of Hashem Tzavokis. Says Rav Huna, Malamed, that teaches us Shaluchis, Vishivei Luchis Menachem Ba'aron, that both the Luchis and the broken Luchis were both placed in the Aron, from the fact that it says Shem Hashem two times, to tell you that one is the of that of the regular Luchis and one is that of the broken Luchis. Now, that the Gemara says, Ve'idach, but according to Behuda, who he doesn't learn that from that pasuk, because he actually learns it out from the other source, Hahumi Boy Lelik Rabbi Yechanan, this pasuk in Shmuel Beis, he needs you to teach a different halacha, that of Rabbi Yechanan. Because the Amr Yechanan, Rabbi Shimon Yechai, says, Melamed, what this pasuk teaches, by saying the name Shem, Ashenikar Shem, and saying again the word Shem, Hashem Tzavokas, is to, Melamed comes to teach you, Shashem V'chol Kinuiv Menachem Ba'aron, that Hashem's name and all the other forms of his name were all placed in the Aron. So the Gemara asks, "So, according to a mayor, namim boyle lahachis." So he would also need that pasuk in Shmuel Beis to teach that all the shemas were in there, not just the shem havaya. So then, how does he know the halacha of the shevei luchos? So the Gemara says, "Yes, enechanami." Right, he learns that pasuk like a Behuda. El shevei luchos menachem aron menali. So then, where does he know that the broken luchos were also placed in the Aron? Nafkalem in the Tanya of Yisrael. He learns it out like the teaching that Rabbi Yisrael had taught. The Tanya of Yisrael, had taught the following brayso. The pasuk in Devarim says, and this is in Devarim Perek Yud pasuk Beis, that Hashem tells Moshe ve'echtav al aluches, as a Devarim ashahayu al aluches rishayim, that you should write on these new luches the words which were written on the first luches, asher shibarto, which you had broken, which that's superfluous. What's the necessity of saying that these are that it's to replace the first luches which Moshe ben had broken? Rather, it's that it should be near the next word that Hashem told them, which was v'samtem, that you should place them, place the luchis, ba'aron, in the aron, which comes to make a drasha. What's the smichus of asher shibarta and v'samtem of the luchis? Melamed, that comes to teach you, shal luchis v'shivri luchis menachem aron. That although the simple translation of the pasuk is saying that you put the luchis in the aron, but it's coming to make it near the word asher shibarta, to say that not only the regular luchis, but also the broken luchis, should also be v'samtem ba'aron, that you put it into the aron. Now, Be'idach, but Rabbi Yehuda, who already knows the halacha of Shevei Luchos from a different source, he needs those extra words of that Hashem tells Moshe ben Asher Shibarta to teach a different halacha. Dama Shlokesh, like Rish Lakish said, Asher Shibarta, when Hashem said to Moshe that it should replace the Luchos that you broke, Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, what Hashem was telling Moshe was Yiyashu Keichach Asher Shibarta, that your strength should be straightened, should be focused, that he's telling him a thank you, Sheshibarta, that you broke it. In other words, what this is coming to teach you is that this is one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did out of his own insight, and Hashem later agreed to him what he had done, that it was right thing. And that's what Hashem was telling him in the words Asher Shibarta, from the word of Yishar, that it should be that it's direct, it was focused, it's good, this that you broke the luchas, it was an appropriate thing to do, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues on this theme of the halacha of our previous mission regarding Kisvei HaKadosh. So turn up on one of the braisa. Sidran Shel Navim, the order of the Sifrei of Navi, are the first one is Yeshua, the book of Joshua of Yeshua, V'Shoftim, that of Judges, Shmuel, Umalachim, and that of Judges, that of Kings, Yirmiyah, the Sefer Yirmiyah, V'Yechezkel, and Yeshaya, and V'Shnayim Aser, which are the 12 small Sifrei of the Navim. Now, on this part of the braisa, the Gemara interjects and asks, Mechti, let's see, Hosea Kodem, the Navi Hosea was first, like it says in the Pasuk in Hosea, Tchilas Dibra Hashem B'Hosea, Hashem first spoke to Hosea. Now the question for us is, what, B'chiyam Hosea Dibra Tchila, did Hashem first speak in prophecy to Hosea? V'aloi M'Moshe V'ad Hosea Kam Navim Hoyu. There were many prophets from Moshe up until Hosea. Rather, V'amar B'yechen, he explained what the Pasuk means to say, Hosea Tchila L'Arba Navim, he was the first of the four prophets, Shenisnaba Bo'isa Perek, who had prophesied in the same period in time. V'elohen, and they are Hosea, V'yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. Now, because they were all at the same periods of the same kings, which were Uzziah, Yosem, Achaz, and Yechezkiah. Now, these four prophets all write that they had prophesied in this period of these four kings, except for Micha, who wasn't in the days of Uzziyahu, but he was in the days of Yosem, Achaz, and Yechezkiah. So, the first of those four who had prophesied in that period was Hosea. So then the question is, V'lekadmi lo Hosea bereisha. So, why isn't Hosea before Yeshayim, we have all these other prophets, some of them that are written even not in part of Shnei Maaser. They have their own Sefer Navi, and they're written before Trei Aser. Why? Why isn't Hosea, who is in Trei Aser, written earlier before those Nevi'im when he prophesies before them? That's what the Gemara's question is. L'kadmi lo Hosea bereisha, that Hosea should be first. So says the Gemara, no. Kiven dechsiv nevuasei, since his prophecy was written, gabi chagi zechariah malachim, together by with Chagiz Chari Malachi, as the Gemara later on will explain that they had written the small Sifri Nach, that of the small ones, which Hosea is one of the small ones, which is part of Trei Aser, and the Chagiz Chari Malachi Sef Nevim, but they were the last of the prophets, which they were in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash in the second year of the later Daryavish. So Chashuv L'Badayu, since they wrote it, that's why it's mentioned with them, which is part of the Trei Aser or towards the end. Now, so on that, the Gemara asks, but why? Let the Sefer Hosea be written individually. And then, since it'll be its own independent Sefer, not part of Trei Aser, which is part of the later prophets, and since it was written by them, written all the way there at the end, let it be written as its own Sefer of Hosea, and be before the other ones, like Yeshaya, who he came before. So the Gemara answers, no, I did Zutra, since Sefer Hosea is very small, Mirkas, it would get lost if it was its own Sefer. Therefore, they made it part of the larger Sefer Trei Aser, and again, that's why it was there at the end with the later prophets. Now the Gemara asks another question. Mechti, let's see. Yeshaya kodim mi Yirmiyah v'Yecheskel. The Navi Yeshaya was before the Navi Yirmiyah and Yecheskel. And the reason for that is because Yeshaya was in the days of Uzziah. Yirmiyah was only in the days of Yeshaya and his sons, that they gave Nevu in Yerushalayim, and Yecheskel is even later in the exile in the days of Tzidkiah. So the question is, L'kadma L'Yishai Bereisha, so Yeshaya should come before those two. Why is it after that? So it says the Gemara, Kivin de Malachim Soifei Churbana, since the end of the Sefer of the Book of Kings talks about destruction, now, the Yirmiyah Kul Churbana, the Sefer of Yirmiyah is talking about totally about destruction. Now, B'Yecheskel, Reisha Churbana, B'Sefer Nechamta, the Sefer Yecheskel, the first part is destruction, and the end of it is consolation. And B'Yeshaya Kuli Nechamta, the Sefer Yeshaya is total consolation. So, Samchina Churbana L'Churbana. So, first they take Sefer Yirmiyah and put it after Sefer Malachim, because we put near destruction to destruction. And then we have the one which has first part is destruction attached to the destruction, and then the end of it has Nechama. And Nechamta Lechamta, and then we have that of consolation towards that second half, which has consolation, and that's why it ends up Yeshaya comes at the end, because it's coming after the consolation of that's part of Yecheskel, which has the first part Churbana, which is after Sefer Yirmiyah, which is connected to the Churban of Sefer Malach. Continues the Braisa. Sidrin Shel Ksuvim, the order of the writings of the last part of Tanakh, of the Ksuvim, is Rus, the Sefer Tehillim, the Sefer Tehillim, the Iyav, which the reason for this order is because Rus, as the Sefer says, was B'mei Shvayt HaShayftim, the days of the judges, which is the earlier part of history, of Jewish history. And Tehillim was only after that, a grandchild of Rus, David wrote that. And he's mentioned before the Sefer Iyav, because that's like the Mand Amma, who the Gemara will later mention, that he was at the time period of Malchus Shiva, which was after that. And then afterwards it mentions the three Svarim of Shlema, who is after David, which is the Mishlei, Sefer Parables, Kehelis, which these two are two books of wisdom, and Shir HaShirim, which is Song of Songs, which Rashi says that's why it's after Mishlei and Kehelis. It would seem because it was written in his elder years. Then comes Bikinus, the Lamentations reference to Eicha, which Yirmiyah had said that who was after Shlema. Then Sefer Daniel, who is after Yirmiyah, who is in the days of Nebuchadnezzar in exile. Megillas Esther, which that was afterwards, by the days of Achashverosh, towards the second Beis Hamikdash. And then Sefer Ezra, who is after Esther, which was in the days of the second Daryavish, which was after Achashverosh. And then V'Divar Yamim is the Sefer of Chronicles, which is culminates everything. Now, the Gemara asks, but according to the opinion that holds that Iyuv was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Gemara later on will explain all these different opinions, who was Iyuv, when was he? So according to that opinion, L'kadmi L'Iyuv Bereisha. So then why is Iyuv only later on in the order of the writings? Let it be the first one, because he was the first one in the history for the farm of Ksuvim. Says the Gemara, Aschulu b'paranas le'maschilinim. We're not going to start the order of the Ksuvim, of the writings, with that of punishment, and the Sefer Iyuv is all about affliction and punishment. So the Gemara's Ruas, which is the first one mentioned in the Ksuvim, Nami Paranasi, is also about punishment. There was hunger, there was exile, there was the death of Elimelech and his sons. Says the Gemara, Peronis Isle Achris. You're right, it starts off with punishment, but it's a punishment that at the end ultimately turns into salvation and hope, because David HaMelech comes ultimately out of Rus as it ends off Sefer Rus. Dam Rabbi Yechon, like Rabbi Yechon says, Loma Nikra Shema Rus. Why was her name called Rus? She Yatsim Mena David, because David ultimately came out of her. She Rivohu La Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiris V'Shirish Bachas, that he sated and saturated HaKadosh Baruch Hu with songs and with praise. That's where the word Rus comes from, is from the root of, if there was a hay interchange with the Saf, Riva, which it saturates. So therefore, since it was ultimately a good thing, that's why it's not considered a sifri, the peronasa, of a problem of putting it first. So now the Braisa says, Umi Kasman. Now, who wrote all these svarim that we mentioned of Tanakh? So on that, the Gemara explains, Moshe Kasav, so Moshe Rabbeinu wrote svara, his sefer, meaning what we call Teres Moshe, which is the five books of the Chumash, Uparshas Bilam, which includes also the prophecy and the parables of Bilam, even though that's not part and parcel necessarily of Moshe and his Torah and what's necessary to talk about the order of the Jewish people, but that was incorporated and written by Moshe Rabbeinu and written in the Torah. And the Iv, and he also wrote Sefer Iv. Now, Yeshua Kasav, Yeshua wrote Svari, his Sefer, that of Yeshua. Ushmoinim Psukim Shabbatari, and the last eight Psukim in the Torah, from the words Vayamas Maisha, that Moshe Rabbeinu died, so obviously that he's not writing anymore, up until the end of the Sefer Torah. Shmuel Kasav, Shmuel wrote Sifra, his Sefer, called Sefer Shmuel. And Beshaftim, he also wrote the Sefer of the Judges. Verus, and he also wrote the Sefer of Rus, where all those came before him. He got up and he wrote his own Sefer. He wrote what happened to the Jewish people in those days, which was right before him, that of the Judges. And he also wrote the Sefer of Rus, which was also at the same time period of Bimei HaShoftim. David Kasav Sefer Tehillim. David wrote the Sefer of Tehillim. Al Yidei Asar Zekeinim, together with the assistance of ten elders, which he wrote different Pirkei of Tehillim from elders that were before him and those that were during his times, like the Gemara explained that of Asaf and Haman and Yedusim, who were from the Levim, that were from the singers, from the Mishairim. Shmuel, and who are these ten, says the Gemara? Are the Admarishan. One of them is, for example, as Perik Kof Lamates and Tehillim, was written by Admarishan, where it says, Golmi, my, which is just the like a Golem, which is just the form, which is just the clump of clay, Ro'enecha, that we saw your eyes, V'lima yokur echa, and to me how precious are your thoughts. This was words that Admarishan had said, that you saw me before I was even formed into man. Another one that helped was Al Yedei Malki Tzedek, which that's Parakuf Yod, was written by Malki Tzedek, which it says, No Mashem Ladoini Shevli Mini, and all that mizmor was written by Malki Tzedek. Then he had Val Yedei Avram, which the Gemara will later on explain that it says by a mizmor of Eisen Hezrachi, that's a reference to Avram Avinu. By the Moshe, he had Prakim that written by Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Perik Tzadi, which has Tfil LaMoshe, and all the 11 Mismarim after that in order are by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vadei Haman, where it says a Perik in Tehillim called Maskele Haman. Vadei Yedusin through Yedusin, who these were Leviim, where it says Lamnatzeich LeYedusin. Vadei Asav, he had written through Asav. And there's a continuing type of Tezvam and Aleph. And the remaining three, Vadei Shleish of Nekarach, through the three sons of Karach, as is mentioned, Prakim and Tehillim of the sons of Karach. Now, Yirmiyah Kasav Sifrei, right? Yirmiyah wrote his own Sefer, Yirmiyah B'Sefer Melachim. He also wrote the Book of Kings, which also has there at the end destruction, and Mekines, and that of Echav, Lamentations, old ideas of destruction. Now, Chizkiah V'Siyatoi, Chizkiah and those of his generation who lived after him, Kasav, they wrote, Yimshak is a simon of the four books that they wrote, which were Sefer Yeshaya. Now, the reason why Chizkiah wrote the Sefer of Yeshaya was because Menashe killed Yeshaya and he didn't get a chance to write his own Sefer, because prophets, Rashi says, would only write their Sfarim right before they died, and he didn't get a chance because he was killed by Menashe. So Chizkiah and his generation wrote it. The Sefer of Mishlei and Shir HaShirim and V'Keheles, that all these were authored by Shlomo HaMelech, but it was written by Chizkiah and those that helped him, as it says in Sefer Mishlei, actually. It says, Asher Tiku Anshei Chizkiah V'Gomer, which was copied and written over by the people of Chizkiah. Now, Rashi just explains, since Chizkiah was the one who caused his whole generation to toil in Torah, as the Gemara in Perek HaChelik at the end of Sanhedrin talks about, that he stuck a sword at the opening of the Beis HaMedrash, and he says whoever goes out is going to get killed to death. So that's what was called on his name, but it was really all those Talmidei Chacham of his generation that wrote these Svarim of Yeshaya, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, and Keheles. And Atche Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, which is referenced to Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the last of the prophets, is Rebavel and Mordechai, and all their colleagues, Kasuv, they wrote Kandag Simon, which is a reference to Sefer Yecheskel, that's the Kuf over there, that he prophesied in exile. Where Rashi says he doesn't know why Yecheskel didn't write his own Sefer, unless he says because it wasn't given to write over prophecies in Chutz Laretz, and rather these wrote, the Anshei Knesset Gedolei wrote it only after they came to Eretz Yisrael. And so too, Vishneim Aser, they wrote the book of Trei Aser, of the 12 smaller prophets, and Daniel, which Rashi says also was in exile, so maybe that's why Daniel did not write his own Sefer. And the Megillah Esther, which that was also out of Eretz Yisrael. Now Rashi points out that Trei Aser, because they were small prophecies, they're very small Svarim, that's why those prophets didn't write their own Svarim themselves. Now, but then Chagi Zechariah Malachi, they saw with the divine spirit that prophecies ending, that they were last of the prophets. So they got up and they wrote all these prophecies and combined it together and made it into one big sefer so that they shouldn't lose it because of their how small they are. They went and compiled it and put it together. Now, Ezra Kasab Svarai, Ezra wrote his own sefer called Sefer Ezra, which also has Sefer Nehemiah. Vayaches Shaldivar Yamim Adloy, and then he went through the lineage from the beginning of the Sefer Divar Yom, talking about the chronicles of the Jewish people up until himself, until he put the Yichas and he showed where he comes from in the Jewish people, which the Gemara says, Mesayil Rav, that supports Rav. The Rav Yudim Rav, he says, Lo Ola Ezra mi Bavel, Ezra did not come up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ach Yichas Atzmoy, until he went and he traced back his own lineage that he wrote to Sefer Divar Yomim until he included himself, and then Va'ola, only then did he come up to Eretz Yisrael. Now, concludes the Gemara, Man Aske, and who concluded the Sefer Divar Yomim after that a part of where Ezra went and showed his own yichas. That was Nehemiah ben Chachalia. That was Nehemiah, another leader of Jewish people, and that's the second part of Ezra is called Sefer Nehemiah.